From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 86, Rob Parker.
Welcome to the show. We have a great podcast for you today. Coming up, we'll talk with former Major League outfielder Matt Holliday. He'll talk about some of the great storylines that we have coming up in the 2021 season. Also, J.R. Gamble from the Shadow League. He'll break down some of the exciting players we need to keep an eye on in the upcoming season. That's right. It's Inside the Parker. Let's go.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
That's right. The seven greatest words in the English language were uttered all over baseball America on Wednesday. Pitchers and catchers report to spring training. Yes, we know there's snow on the ground all over the country. We know the weather's terrible. The power's out in Texas. But we know spring is coming. We know baseball is coming. This is the day we all wait for. After the Super Bowl in February, when pitchers and catchers show up to Florida and Arizona and get ready for yet another season. This will not be an abbreviated 60-game season as we had just last year in the pandemic. We'll have more of a regular season. A lot of baseball to be played. There's a chance that fans could be in the stands at some point during this baseball season. There have been some player movement. Some teams like the Dodgers got richer. Teams like the Padres improved. We have so much to look forward to, and I can't wait. We'll be bringing you this podcast, of course, once the regular season starts. Every week, it's your baseball fix, and you don't want to miss it.
Number two.
The 2021 season will definitely be a season of adjustments on the field this spring. National League pitchers will again pick up the bat. Expectations are that the universal DH will not, N-O-T, apply, and that's unless somehow the MLB and MLB Players Association bring the issue back and put it on the table and decide before opening day. But for right now, it will not happen. And the other thing that we're going to see is Florida teams will play more regionalized schedule in spring training than in past years. Managers can agree to shorten exhibition games if nine innings aren't deemed necessary. That's something else that'll happen. We will once again see runners put on second base for extra innings. We'll see that. We'll also, that's something that, you know, we have to wait. Doubleheaders will be seven innings. So they're leaving that open again just in case we have games that are canceled or postponed because of COVID. But you'll need a full pitching staff because we're expected to play closer to the 162 games after just playing the 60. So there's a lot of different things that are happening. But for the most part, it will be baseball as usual. It'll be different. And people are excited to get back to more of a regular season. We just kind of whet our appetite last year. But this will be full-blown, and we can't wait.
Number three.
Last thing, I'm going to bring a little damper on the celebration of the return of baseball and spring training. David Ortiz recently spoke on why baseball is hard for him to watch, and he's talking about the current way the game is played. And he was quoted recently as saying, quote, "To me, it's messed up. The game has changed a lot. Coaches only want kids to hit home runs, and that's all they practice." To him, he's saying, end quote, Ortiz is saying that the game has just become strikeouts and home runs, which is boring to him. And I think he has a point. We have reached a point where baseball is too two-dimensional. Guys are swinging for the fences. It is about home runs. Strikeouts, people don't seem to be bothered by it anymore. And this, too, looks a lot like the NBA, where it's all about the three-pointers. The mid-range game is done. Small ball in baseball is done. I think Big Poppy has a point that we need to get back to some of the, you know, fundamentals of baseball, moving guys over, hitting runs, stolen bases. I would love to see a return to that. I get the stat geeks. I get the analytics. But I'm with Big Poppy on this. Just watching guys strike out and hit home runs is really not fun.
Number four.
It's all over. It's all done. On Wednesday, the New York Mets announced that outfielder Tim Tebow was retiring from pro baseball. That's right. At 33, Tim Tebow was going to throw in the towel. He signed with the Mets back in 2016, participated in an instructional league. Remember, he even hit a home run in his first at-bat in the game against the St. Louis Cardinals. People went crazy. People were buying his jerseys like crazy for a guy who never even made it to the 40, wasn't even on the 40-man roster. And yet, when it all was over, in three professional seasons, Tim Tebow batted .223 with 107 runs scored, 48 doubles, 3 triples, 18 home runs, and 107 RBI. That was in 287 games, and he didn't make it. He wound up being a two-time loser, not being able to make it as a quarterback in the NFL, and not being able to make it to the major leagues for even one at-bat. The Mets had flirted with the idea of bringing him up when they were bad, but decided that they would not do it. So there it is. Tim Tebow done with baseball.
Number five.
On the day when pitchers and catchers showed up for spring training, the biggest news in baseball was again Fernando Tatis Jr., the superstar, most exciting player in the league. And it wasn't about his play on the field. It was about a 14-year, $340 million contract extension. You heard it right. 14 years, $340 million. That's what's being reported. Robert Murray of Fanside is reporting that the deal is worth that amount of money. In just two seasons, I mean, this is unheard of. Tatis has definitely skyrocketed to a superstar with the swag and the home run and his play at shortstop. I mean, he has transcended the Padres into must-see TV. He, of course, is the son of former Major League third baseman Fernando Tatis. But my goodness, he burst onto the scene in 2019 as a rookie, batted .317, 22 home runs, 53 RBIs. And last year, got the Padres in the playoffs, was unbelievable, batted .277, 17 home runs, 45 runs batted in, 11 steals, 50 runs scored, and that was in 59 games. He was clearly an NL MVP candidate. And you know what? Kudos to the Padres. Don't let your guy get away. He is going to be a Padre for a long time to come. What a great deal for the Padres to lock up their superstar and not let anyone add him. I love this for both Tatis Jr., and I love this for the Padres.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, now let's welcome into the podcast Matt Holliday, the former outfielder who was an unbelievable wrecking machine in his major league career with the bat. Of course, he played for Colorado, the A's, St. Louis Cardinals, New York Yankees, won a championship in 2011 with the Cardinals, and had over 2,000 hits, batted over 308 times. We could go on and on and on. Matt, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me.
No doubt. I always call St. Louis the baseball capital of the United States. There's some great baseball towns like New York and like Boston and like L.A., but there's something about St. Louis. How did you enjoy playing there?
I really enjoyed it. Like you said, it's the most important thing in town. You know, I think that when you talk about New York and Boston, great sports towns, L.A., great sports towns, But really, I think the Cardinals in St. Louis and kind of the – I think in the whole area is just – you know, people are Cardinal crazy. So it was a great experience as a kind of a – you know, I grew up in baseball. My dad was a coach. I grew up in Oklahoma, which isn't far. Just kind of a baseball nut, and then to get a chance to play for an organization like that and to play in front of those fans and get to be a Cardinal for 7+ years – I truly was a blessing.
No doubt. And the Cardinals are always trying to win. That's what I love about that organization. They always are trying to win. An organization that won, Matt, I want to talk about some of the 2021 spring training that started. And here we are, another baseball season's coming quickly. The Dodgers, of course, won the World Series for the first time since 1988. They picked up Trevor Bauer, who won the National League Cy Young. Are the Dodgers even better this year?
You know, I can't imagine that they're going to be any worse. You know, I think that when I look at their lineup, they got Turner back, which is helpful, but their lineup is a little bit young and a little bit thin on the backside, I think, in my opinion. But it's hard to argue against their pitching. You know, I think that their starting pitching in particular, when you add Bauer, is as strong or stronger than everybody else. I think their depth. You know,
and David Price, don't forget, he didn't pitch last year, David Price.
Yeah, so they have the pitching, I think, and even when you look at Dustin May, and they have a couple young guys that most teams would try to give an opportunity to start in the rotation that are waiting. So you have depth at the rotation, which, you know, sometimes you need. There's going to be injuries, there's going to be guys miss starts, and when you have that kind of depth, that separates them for me from everybody else. But I think that when you have an ownership group that's got that kind of money and they're extremely competitive, they go out and they sign Bauer after they win the World Series. They don't just say, "Well, we're, you know, we got David Price coming back and we've got a couple young guys that need, you know, an opportunity that aren't making any money that we'll be able to plug into the rotation." But they said no, and they keep spending money and they keep trying to win the World Series and you know, responding to what the Padres are doing. So it's going to be a very good team and a very interesting National League West.
No doubt. The flip side is the Tampa Bay Rays. They make it to the World Series last year. They lose to the Dodgers in 6 games. And the guy on the mound who was pitching his butt off, Blake Snell, who has a very manageable contract, gets dealt to the Padres. If you're a Tampa Bay Rays fan, I mean, Matt, this got to hurt you, right, that they gave up their ace?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're a Tampa Bay Rays fan, you start to expect some of these things, right? I think, yes, at a manageable contract and a guy that's young who's had, you know, several really, really good seasons, I think it's definitely disappointing. I do think that Tampa Bay has earned a little bit of credit with their fan base and that they consistently are turning things over and trading some of their best players, but they're doing a really good job of getting good young prospects in return. That keep them afloat in that market. So I think it obviously it stings and probably will have an effect this year, but I think in their minds they probably got some return that will allow them to continue to compete with a lower salary, you know, with a lower just continuing to operate on a budget that's lower than everybody else. So I guess I'm not surprised that they did that, just knowing how they operate and how much they rely on numbers and what they kind of expect probably out of Snell and what they got in return. So it's frustrating as fan, I'm sure. But like I said, I think that we all understand who the Tampa Bay Rays are and that they trade their best players when they get, you know, when they get closer to free agencies.
All right, Matt, thanks for joining the podcast. We appreciate it.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto: if I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
All right, now let's welcome into the podcast J.R. Gamble, senior writer and editor at theshadowleague.com, a baseball expert, one of my favorite people. Man, can you believe it? Spring training is upon us, and I don't know about you, but I am excited.
I'm excited, too. I'm excited for another year of podcasts and baseball and actually close to what will be a full season.
No doubt about it. Not an abbreviated season like last year. All right, I figured we need to talk to you and figure out, give me four or five players that we need to be on the lookout for in the 2021 baseball season.
Number four.
Toronto Blue Jays free agent acquisition center fielder George Springer. You know, the former World Series MVP, he wanted out of Houston, and he basically wanted to get away from the stain of the cheating scandal that haunted the franchise. So now Springer's considered Toronto's biggest free agent acquisition since Roger Clemens, and I'm interested to find out if he can elevate Toronto to contender status, because they've been building towards that. He should be a great influence on their young rising stars and second-generation ballers, Bo Bichette and Vlad Guerrero Jr., and very excited to see Springer in the AL East.
Number three.
Tampa Bay Rays outfielder Randy Arozarena. Last spring training, nobody knew who this kid was. But the MLB COVID season produced several young superstars, Rob, and he was one of them, breaking out and looking like Miguel Cabrera in the playoffs. In the World Series, Arozarena went 8 for 22, 3 home runs. In 20 postseason games, he slashed 377, 442, and 831 slugging with 10 homers. So I'm naturally interested to see what he does over a 154-game season. With the league adjusting to him, he won't sneak up on anyone this time.
Number two.
Number two is Seattle Mariners outfielder Kyle Lewis, another black knight. Seattle has more black players than any team in baseball, and the 25-year-old Lewis is probably the best of them. I'm looking forward to seeing how the multi-tool player elevates his game in year three of this Mariners rebuild. 11 home runs this season, tied for the big league lead among rookies. He also led AL rookies in everything, Rob, WAR, total bases, times on base, runs scored, on-base percentage, making pancakes. He has the talent to be as good as Torrey Hunter or Kenny Lofton, but only time will tell.
Number one.
Another second-generation baller, Ke'Bryan Hayes, third baseman for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Unfortunately, the Pirates are going to be their traditional awful selves, but this one shining light is the 23-year-old third baseman Hayes. The Pirates finished last year the 60-game season with a record of 19-41, 15 games out behind the Cubs. But once Hayes came up, he started mashing and flashing that potential gold glove, and the team played a little better. So he's providing hope for the future. His dad, Charlie, was a heck of a third baseman, and Ke'Bryan is a product of MLB's diversity program and should be even better.
His dad, I covered in 1996 when he was with the Yankees, Charlie Hayes, great guy. And don't forget, he caught the final out of that World Series in foul territory. Do you remember that?
I do, and he leaped up to the sky with both of his legs in a full split in the air.
No doubt, one of the memorable moments in baseball history for sure.
Yes, sir.
J.R. Gamble from the Shadow League, always great information, great stuff.
Thank you, Rob. Good luck with everything. I'll speak soon.
In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.